Welcome to the Genuine Creative Podcast with Melissa Hurt. Here's where I'll be helping creatives get through mindset blocks, step into wellness and self-care practices, and overcome imposter syndrome so that you can live genuinely as a creative person, putting your greatest gift out into the world. Thank you for joining me at the Genuine Creative Podcast. I'm Melissa Hurt, and I'm here to help you keep it real so you can keep it genuine and be truly creative. Today, we're talking about imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome, it affects us all. Imposter syndrome is when you believe success is not deserved, because you don't have the skills and talents others say that you have. At least you feel that way. Or imposter syndrome is the feeling like you're not good enough and you must always level up to be good enough, like you're never ready for it. Well, certainly imposter syndrome affects creatives because our work comes from deep within. And there's absolutely a level of skill that comes into what we do for our craft. Whether we're writers, visual artists, performing artists, we all know how much time and money we have invested into these skill sets. It can be pretty extraordinary. But because our craft has a subjective audience, sometimes we feel like people might think that our talents aren't there when we feel like we do have talent, or maybe we feel like we don't have talent and others say we do. It all can get to our heads over time. So what I'm going to do today in this podcast is lay out five forms of imposter syndrome. Now, as you listen to these forms, bring them into your heart. Just consider it, let it bathe over and through you, and get real with yourself as you listen. Now, remember, when I say get real, that's always through the lens of loving kindness. Getting real with yourself is not about lashing yourself with a whip, saying, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, that's my reality. No, never. Getting real means you're just taking a bird's eye view, an objective look at, is this really my truth? Is this really what's happening? Are these my given circumstances? And for this particular conversation, it's getting to the heart of, wow, does that feel true to me that I feel that way? That's how we get real when we're talking about imposter syndrome. So as you listen, do you identify with one or maybe two of these forms of imposter syndrome? I'm going to share with you these five forms, and then I'm going to reveal which one I had coming up for me again and again and again and again. And then I'm going to share with you what you can do about it. All right, let's do this. Number one, superwoman or superman. The superwoman, superman imposter syndrome. This is when the individual pushes him, her, themselves very hard to cover areas of insecurity. This is a person that feels the need to do it all and then show up in the world and prove to everyone how much they measure up, because they can take all of it on and do it great. They tend to be the ones to arrive first to a task and leave last. And they take all the work home so they can continue excelling and showing everybody how much they can do it all. And this is the person that feels stressed out when they're not working. Like they have kind of forgotten how to relax. Work-life balance is a myth because they want to do it all to show everybody that they've got this. Okay. Now let's move on to the second form of imposter syndrome, which is the expert. The expert measures competence on what they know they can do or how much they know about a topic. They tend to seek out training after training, workshop after workshop, certification after certification, because of a deep, deep fear that they never know enough to truly be qualified. And really deep down inside, if you really want to dive deep into the shadow of the expert, this person feels unintelligent or not talented deep down. So they have to continue to learn to fill that hole so that they can be competent in a particular craft or skill. Number three, the natural genius. Now, the natural genius judges their competence on how easily they can learn something, as opposed to it taking a lot of work or effort to learn it. If it takes them a while to learn how to do something, they feel a sense of shame with that. Now, the natural genius was more than likely the straight A student and was cherished in the family for being the straight A student. Oh, you're so gifted. You don't even have to read the book and you got an A on the quiz. You are amazing. This person has a hard time realizing that they are a work in progress, as we all are. We are always learning and always up for a challenge, at least I hope you are, so that we can push past the edges of our skin and continue to grow and thrive in this one precious life. The natural genius might also be the person who just has a gift for the art that they do. Maybe they're just naturally gifted at dance or drawing or painting or whatever it is, a musician. And when presented with a particular project that's a little hard or just outside of the edges of what they've normally been doing, there can be a sense of shame with that. Number four, the perfectionist. The perfectionist. This is the person that sets very high goals from themselves, and they have high anxiety over every task because they feel it needs to be perfect. Now, perfect is in little air quotes here. There is no such thing as perfect. There's only done, right? And so this person feels if they want something done right, they have to do it themselves. So group work can be torture for the perfectionist. Collaboration, very, very hard for the perfectionist. This person has a hard time delegating tasks without helicoptering over other people who are also doing the work with them. So the perfectionist can be stressful for everybody because there's an imagined standard of what is perfect. And as we know, we only have so much time in the day, and the perfectionist can tend to torture themselves over this, like reworking, rewriting to the point, like let's say they write a draft of a chapter for a book. Let's say this is a writer. And they're not content to just walk away from that first draft and say, you know what, that was good work today. I'm going to step away. They go back in and they needle through it, changing words, changing structure, rewriting character profiles and layering that back into it. I mean, they end up undoing their work in a lot of ways because of this idea of perfection. Now, here's the thing with a perfectionist that you need to know, my dear sweet friend, is that we need to have time for our work to settle in our mind-body complex. Because it's when we're not actively working that connections happen. And so please trust in what neuroscience has shown us, that default neural network is real. And it's important that we have that rest time so that when we come back to that project the next day, the ideas we get at the ready are there for a reason, because we had time to digest the work and effort we did before. The perfectionist is probably more rampant than people realize, this idea for perfection, which doesn't really exist. Okay, but now let's get into number five. Number five, dun, 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 it is the soloist. The soloist. This is a person who is scared to ask for help out of fear of being seen as incompetent. And so this person will suffer through a task or a project without ever reaching out for feedback or help. This person feels a sense of shame in asking for help because they feel like if they ask for help, they will be seen as stupid or untalented or a burden or anything like that. All right, now these are heavy hitters. Let's just review what they are. We have the superwoman, Superman. Now, in my experience as a personal development and communication coach, a lot of my clients who are parents or caretakers, but also work a job or a career, tend to suffer from this complex of superwoman, Superman, because they're holding it down at work 40 hours a week, sometimes more, and then they're home holding it down at home, making sure everybody's fed, making sure the groceries are on point, making sure the house is clean. I mean, they're doing all of it. And they feel a sense of pride in some way because they can do all of it. But really what they're doing is burning themselves out, because when they end up coming to me, they feel a lack of fulfillment in their life. And they're like, why do I feel so empty and stuck? And then we have to, you know, do that get real system. And I teach them meditation practice. I teach them all the things I've been sharing with you, my friends. And through deeper levels of work, they realize, oh, I've been caught up in the superwoman or the Superman. And we start to find ways to loosen that white knuckle grip to examine that. So superwoman, Superman, the expert, the person who feels they have to continue learning and leveling up to be good enough or ready. The natural genius, that's the person that was more than likely groomed by some outside force, whether it's school system, mentors, family, because they were so good at what they did that it developed into where if they ask for help, there's a sense of shame in that. The perfectionist, again, feeling like everything has to be perfect. And then the soloist, the person who is scared to be seen as incompetent. Maybe they're in company of really gifted, talented, smart people without realizing that if they're in that company, they are also gifted, talented, and smart, but they feel a sense of shame in asking for help. Now, which one was I? I was the expert. I was caught up in the expert level of imposter syndrome because I always felt like I needed to learn more to be competent as a professor. Now, of course, there is some truth to that. Like if you're a teacher, you're never done learning. I think that's our job, is to be the lifelong student, not only because we're learning more about new developments and new applications of our crafts and things like that, but it also keeps us in a compassionate headspace with what our students' experience is for learning. Learning is a very vulnerable task. You have to bear yourself vulnerable and say, I don't know this, and I'm willing to trust you to learn it. Like that's really at the heart of the learning experience. And so as the expert, imposter syndrome came over me, I always felt like in order for me to be qualified to teach these students or to coach these clients or whatever it was that I was doing, I had to learn more, and I was never ready. I was paying a lot of money for a lot of extra trainings and for these degrees. And don't get me wrong, I value and love every bit of training and learning I have done. But if I were to do that bird's eye view of my life, I probably would have been just fine without one or two of them and saved myself several thousands of dollars in the end. But I do believe that things happen for reasons. I learned a lot about myself in those processes. But now that I have identified that the expert tends to pop up for me, sometimes I will feel this wave of, oh, I should do that extra certification, or I should do this. Now I know to put myself in check. I say, really? Why do I need to do that? What's in it on the other side of that $4,000 in 6 months or whatever it is, the time and the money? What do I get at the end of that I don't already have now? Sure, I have maybe some extra letters after my name, or I have another line on my resume for another certificate. But then I ask myself, do I need it? I mean, am I doing just fine without it? And then do I have the creativity and the skills and the intelligence to piece together what I already have to create this new way of being, learning, knowing, teaching for myself. And 9 times out of 10, I do. I just feel like I need to learn it from somebody else to feel like I'm really learning it, which is not true. Practice-based learning, practice-based research is a valid way of upping your craft because we're learning more and more that experiential knowledge is really, really valuable. So my personal mantra now is I'm going to cannonball into the ball pit. Just cannonball, jump in, and work it out as I'm in the moment. That tends to work well for me because it makes me have to trust in what I already bring to the table, which is a lot. I'm not blowing my horn here, but really I know a lot, I can do a lot, and I'm good at what I do because I care deeply about it. And I bet you're in the same situation, that you know more than you think you do because you care a lot about what you do. So now with any of these expressions of imposter syndrome, you need to examine, well, what the heck do you do with that? So number one, get some pen and paper. You need to get real with your skills. Really, make a list if you need to. Write down bullet point list all the skills you have. And if you're a writer, I mean, is it fiction, nonfiction, research, technical writing, poetry? Can you write for different audiences? I mean, all the skills matter. And then look at the credentials of your teachers, because as a teacher, I know that I bring my best to the table to teach my students. And I imagine your teachers did the same for you. So that matters. You were molded, if you will, or put through the fire by people who have been through it themselves, and they've taught you that. So list that as well if you need to. Like, not only can I do X, Y, and Z, but I learned this from people who have done A, B, and C. So I come from a lineage of really talented, intelligent people with this particular craft or skill. So get real with that. Number two, get real with the feedback you've gotten from other people, whether it's friends, family, colleagues, strangers. Know that it's, of course, subjective what they say about your work, but if you're noticing a theme, more than likely, that's just the way it is. If they're saying, wow, your writing is really captivating, I didn't want to put this essay down because I was really drawn into your argument or how you paint the picture with your words. If you're hearing that again and again, then just know, like, that's true. You are doing that. So the feedback you get from other people is letting you know that, this is what you offer, in case you didn't know, dear friend. And these are your gifts. So make a list of that. What do people say about you? And then number three, this is where it gets a little bit more interior in our inquiry. Get to the core of what feels deficient within you that is bringing up imposter syndrome. What do you feel is not there? These are the harder questions. Look at my episode on meditation practice if you need help with diving inwardly and having the kindness and the patience and the space to do that. But get to the core of it. What is feeling deficient or incompetent inside of you? And then lastly, you're going to challenge that feeling. Why is that feeling there? Where did it come from? Is this an old trigger? Because that is what needs healing. That is what you butt up against when it comes up for you. You need to challenge that trigger and say, is this really true? So for example, for me with the expert imposter syndrome coming up, every time I felt like I was incompetent and I needed another certification, I would say, really? Why do I feel that way? And then I could trace that thread all the way back to the person who said that I wasn't smart and be like, oh, well, but I know that I am smart. So I can discredit that trigger right here and right now. So I don't need the certification and I can get on with my life. So challenge it. What's at the root of it? pluck it out at the root. And again, check out episodes 2 and 3 of this podcast to learn about how to dive inwardly for your highest good and how to keep it real with that lens of loving kindness. All right, my friends, that's our episode on imposter syndrome. This was valuable for you. Please be sure to give this podcast a 5-star review and share it with others. My goal is to help others level up so they can show up in their highest good and be true to who they are. So spreading these no-cost teachings are a way to make that happen. Thank you so much, and I will see you next time.
If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a positive review.